Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome to our studios in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, the Eastern Connecticut Ballet. And not the whole company, they're not all here, but we do have a couple representatives. And the first one is the director and founder, as I'm told, Lise Reardon. Welcome, Lise. Nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
It's very nice to have you here, and we're going to find out everything there is to know about you, how you started out as a child, where you went to school, and then all the trouble you got into.
Oh.
No, you don't want to talk about that?
I don't know. My husband tells me I was pretty innocent.
Oh.
That there's not much to tell, but we'll try.
All right. Well, we'll find out something interesting. And along with you is Gloria Govern. She is the artistic director. Gloria, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you with us. And I understand you have a long storied ballet experience, so we'll want to find out something about that. And you brought a little bit of music with you today, and that's because there is going to be a 25th anniversary Stars of the American Ballet program, which is going to be Saturday, March 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Guard Theater, Guard Arts Center, the proper term, I guess, in New London. So we'll find out about that and find out about the organization. So let's go back to Lise and talk about you a little bit. Are you a longtime Connecticut resident?
No, actually, I'm not. I grew up in St. Louis.
Okay, that's okay.
I'm a Midwesterner.
It's not New York or New Jersey.
Actually, I do prefer New York, but I had a wonderful childhood. I started dancing in a regional ballet company, much like our pre-professional program, our training program that we have at Eastern Connecticut Ballet. So I really appreciate the value of that kind of background and training. And then I went to Chicago and danced with the Ruth Page Ballet Company. Then I decided I wanted to move to New York with my roommates. Not much logic or thought was put into the process.
Now, is this college age you're making
this
move?
Yes, yes, okay. Right. After I graduated from high school, I went to Chicago. Then from Chicago, actually, I broke my foot, went home for the summer, and joined my roommates in New York. And after working at Bonwit Teller's, I decided that wasn't for me. I was kind of taking classes around the city, and I heard about a late audition for Juilliard. They were just opening their new building in Lincoln Center, and I said, well, this sounds interesting. So I bought a record player and set it up in my empty apartment and created a...
Wait a minute. I'm going to tell the younger people listening, record player.
Record player. I might still have that record player. And created a little piece of choreography, went to the audition, somehow got accepted, and that's where I ended up. And then I met my husband, who was a student at Fordham Law School and finishing up, and dragged me away from New York City, and we got married.
Well, there you go.
I joined his journey, I guess, through life.
And you're a resident of what town now?
So I live in Niantic.
Niantic, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. And let's go to Gloria and tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, it started at 3 years old, and my mother took me to ballet school, and I loved it. It became my life. My mother was very ill when I was a child. She was always in hospitals, and I found that I felt more comfortable at the ballet school than anywhere else in the world, and that's all I ever wanted to do. Mm-hmm. When I was 12, I went to the School of American Ballet in New York. I commuted by myself. I don't think anybody would do that today, but I took the bus from Newark, New Jersey every single day when I was high school age. I went to high school in New York. I'd spend my entire day in New York, and then I would get on the bus and I would come back home, and my father would pick me up at the bus stop. And even when I got into New York City Ballet, which was when I was 16, I was still living at home and commuting.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, one, this is a funny story. I used to run to catch the 11:30 bus at Port Authority Bus Terminal. And I got on the bus and I fell asleep.
Uh-oh.
And I woke up and I was in the parking lot of the buses all by myself in this bus, and I had no idea where I was. And I was in Irvington, New Jersey. In those days, they did not have cell phones, and I started walking. It was, you know, I got on the bus at 11:30, so it had to be, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning,
right.
And I'm walking on the streets of Irvington, New Jersey, and I saw a diner, and I walked over to the diner, and I found a phone booth. They used to have phone booths in those days.
That's like the record player.
Yes. And I called my mother, and my father was still waiting for me to get off the bus, which I never did. And luckily, I found a cab, and I hailed the cab, and I said, "Can you take me to Newark, New Jersey?" And he said, "I'll try." And I got home. But those were the days.
The old dance story.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Well, that's how it all started. There's mm-hmm. always something like that in somebody's background when they have enough experiences. That's great. I want to be able to get to a piece of music just to kind of set the mood a little bit. And I understand you brought some Gershwin with you. And so I think let's start with a little piece of that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the program and what's going to be happening. But right now, let's hit Strike Up the Band. Thing like a little Gershwin to set our mood and get us all in a good spirit by striking up the band. Let's find out more about the Eastern Connecticut Ballet's 25th anniversary, Stars of American Ballet. And tell us what's happening.
Well, this is something that I have been wanting to do for many, many years. A lot of presenters in our area are very reluctant to bring ballet in because they don't think it sells and they don't think it will fill the house or pay for itself. I feel that we live in an area that does not have access to really world-class ballet. And
you're talking about southeastern Connecticut.
Southeastern Connecticut, yeah. Correct.
And nearby Rhode Island.
We have so many students that in order for them to really see a wonderful show, they have to travel to New York. They have to go to Boston. It's extremely expensive. Families can't afford it. And we, you know, just felt that need to fill that void, that vacuum. So it started with our association with Sarah Mearns and Jared Engel, who are guest artists for Nutcracker. And I began a conversation with them, and I said, how can we get some of your dancers from New York City Ballet, a small group, to come to the Guard stage and perform for our community and for our region, essentially? So they connected me with a gentleman named Daniel Albrecht, who is another solo principal dancer with New York City Ballet. Coincidentally, he had gathered together dancers from New York City Ballet, from ABT, Pennsylvania Ballet, Miami City Ballet, all these major companies. In their off time, when they're not performing with their companies, he puts together groups and travels with them.
Hmm.
It's just what we were looking for. It was tailor-made.
Sounds like the perfect solution.
It was. So right. He says he's bringing the best dancers to America's front door. And that was what this is all about. So it's very important that we support it because we want to be able to do this again and again and again. And we really have to prove to the theaters that, you know, the audience is looking for this. They're crying out for it. We are co-sponsoring it with the Guard Arts Center, and they have very bravely gone out on a limb and said, we're going to do this. You know, we'll take a gamble. And it is a celebration of our 25th anniversary.
That's great that the Guard is doing that, and tickets are available through the Guard, right?
The
box office there. Yes. And the website for that, if you're interested, is Guard, GARDEARTS.org. So GuardArts.org. And there's no U in that Guard, okay? on State Street in New London. It's a great theater. I've had the privilege of performing there many times. It's a nice spot to be. And that's going to be Saturday, March 11th. One show only, right?
One show only.
7:30. Okay. 7:30 p.m. on the 11th of March. And when Gloria, in putting something like this together as the artistic director, you've chosen to use some Gershwin, and that's why we started off with that, right? Where does the decision come from for how to choose this material?
Well, this was Danny's choice, but the list of ballets is interesting. Three of those ballets were choreographed by George Balanchine. And George Balanchine, after he came to America and he became a citizen, he felt this passion about being an American.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at these ballets, first of all, Stars and Stripes is exactly what it's the music to John Philip Sousa.
Sure.
They are doing just the pas de deux, but the ballet itself, if you look at the full-length ballet, in the end you have the entire production of people on stage, and they're marching, and the American flag goes up. It's very, very patriotic. And then he has Who Cares, which is the Gershwin piece. You can't get much more American than that kind of music, and it's an abstract ballet, but nothing, Balanchine always says there's nothing abstract. If you put a man and a woman on the stage, you already are telling a story. And And it's just group dancing, it's pas de deux, it's solos. It's one of the most charming pieces, I think, that Balanchine did. And it's, I don't know when it was choreographed, probably in the early 70s. These pieces just last forever. Mm-hmm. Tarantella is lively Italian music, but everything has this kind of American bent to it. And that was, you know, he did other ballets like Western Symphony, which depicted the Old West and dance hall girls. Mm-hmm. He was very proud to be an American. He came from Russia.
Right.
And he loved this country. He loved New York. And we were the beneficiaries of all of that.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's listen to another piece of Gershwin. This one is Sweet and Lowdown. While that music was playing here in the studio, I asked for a quick George story. So let's see if Gloria can give us a quick George story.
Actually, the terminology would be Mr. B. He was called by all that loved him Mr. B. Mm-hmm. And my path crossed with him when I was 12, and I went to the School of American Ballet. When I was 16, he invited me into the company, which was a big deal then, because I don't know if you noticed how tall I am, but and I was even taller in those days. I was 5'10", and they had never had a woman in the company of my height, but he saw something in me. He was interested in me. He wanted to choreograph on the way I moved. And so he took me into the company, and I was in the corps de ballet for 4 weeks, and I was called to learn my first solo. And then he choreographed, when the company moved to Lincoln Center, we used to dance at City Center in New York, and they built Lincoln Center, the New York State Theater, which is now known as the Koch Theater, I believe. That theater was built for George Balanchine and ballet. And in those days in New York, it was, you know, everybody would come to the ballet. It was so popular, and they wanted to see what new ballet Balanchine choreographed. And so that was, you know, the big draw at Lincoln, the start of Lincoln Center. I don't think the Met had been built yet. And he choreographed, he redid Nutcracker for this New York State Theater because it was so much bigger than it was at City Center. Mm-hmm. And so one of the changes that he made was he changed the role of Coffee that used to be danced by a man and four little birds, and he made it into a sensuous dance for me. And it was a huge, huge hit. I never, you know, expected anything like that in my wildest dreams. And he gave me my career. My career was different than a lot of other ballerinas who, you know, did pas de deux and things. I mostly danced by myself. And he choreographed for me, which was a huge honor.
I would say so.
That, yeah. But, you know, amazing. Everything that I've learned in life, my perseverance, you know, my father was he was a true pessimist. What's going to happen if you get injured? And how are you, know, because you never went to college, how are you going to succeed at anything? What's going to happen to you? And I kept saying, don't worry about it. You know, and I went through my trials and tribulations when I left the ballet company after 15 years and opened my own school, and it failed. And I had to figure out what to do. And all of that I learned from George Balanchine. He taught me not only how to dance, he taught me how to live.
Sounds like an amazing story, and you certainly look like you're doing great. So let's get to one more piece of music before we take our first break, and this is another Gershwin piece called My One and Only, and then we'll be back with more of the Eastern Connecticut Ballet.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with representatives of the Eastern Connecticut Ballet Company, and we're talking about the Stars of American Ballet 25th Anniversary Celebration performance, which is going to be Saturday, March 11th, at 7:30 p.m. at the Guard Arts Center in beautiful downtown New London, Connecticut. And Lise, a lot of people involved in the production itself on stage. Let's talk about some of them.
Well, one of the nice features of the performance is that three of the six dancers have already performed on the Guard stage as a part of our Nutcracker.
Okay.
So it's this lovely relationship that we've built.
They're coming home.
They're coming home. And actually, one of the dancers is not only coming home to the stage, but she's also taught at our school. This will be her third season this summer, teaching it at ECB. The dancers are Sarah Mearns, Jared Engel, Teresa Reichlin, Amar Ramasar, Daniel Albrecht, and Lauren King. They are absolutely phenomenal dancers. Each one has their own personality, their own style. Sarah, Jared, and Teresa, and Amar, have all danced with us before.
And which one that you mentioned was the teacher?
Sarah has taught for us,
okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. And I just want to, you touched on something, Gloria, earlier when you said after 15 years, I think you mentioned, of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Ballet, probably unlike a lot of other artists, and if you're a singer and your name is Tony Bennett, you can still do what you've been doing for a long, long time. That's not necessarily true for ballet artists.
No, time is cruel.
Yeah.
It really is. You have to transition into something. I was very fortunate when I first got into New York City Ballet. I think I was 20 when Balanchine asked me to teach at the School of American Ballet. And he must have seen something in me that I didn't even see myself. So every time we would have a season, when the season was over and there was that period where nothing was happening, I would be teaching at the school, and I did that for all the years I was at the School of American Ballet. So when I retired, that was the natural place for me to go.
Right.
I felt very comfortable. I had my own school for a while, and then I moved down to Pennsylvania Ballet, and I taught at Pennsylvania Ballet for many years, and then I went to San Francisco. I've been teaching around for a really long time. And
well, what is the average life of an actual performer rather than teacher?
It depends on how hard you dance.
Right.
Yeah. You know, in my day, you know, when you were in your mid to late 30s, it was time to hang it up. Especially men, it was really hard because all the lifting that they do, they usually their backs go
first.
It's
always tougher on the guy.
But it depends. There are dancers who dance into their 50s, but they do a lot of physical therapy.
Okay.
And in the early days, you're talking about 1960s. We didn't have the kind of equipment that dancers have today.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have Marley floors and they have sprung floors. You know, I knew a teacher in San Francisco, and she told me when they used to go out to promote the ballet in San Francisco, they would dance in parking lots.
Wow.
And so if you're dancing on cement, it takes a toll on your body faster than if you're on a sprung floor for all those years. So for me, I retired when I was 34. And
so just a couple years ago.
Right. Oh, you're so kind.
Well, there you go.
But but that's how I know Sarah and Jared and Teresa, because I was the director of San Francisco Ballet School, and I used to scholarship them to come in the summer to take classes, and then I tried to steal them from New York to go to San Francisco Ballet, but they all went back and they all became they all did had the right decision. They all became really big stars of the ballet.
Right. All right. Let's get to another piece of music. Keep us in that Gershwin mood. And what could be better than Fascinating Rhythm? Of showbiz, there's all kinds of success stories where we hear about, you know, someone was discovered in a drugstore or whatever, those old-time fables, but lots of times it's just a good old-fashioned hard work and American ingenuity. And Lise, I think that's a tribute to you and the Eastern Connecticut Ballet. Tell us a little bit about its beginning and now where it is.
Well, I thank you for that compliment. I really do feel it is many, many years of hard work and dedication, not just my hard work, but a whole staff of wonderful teachers and administrators that have pushed us in the right direction. I started out teaching in my home 35 years ago. My first class was a group of five-year-olds because my older daughter was five, so I just took her whole kindergarten class from school, and I had a studio that my husband and I created in the lower level of our house looking over the Niantic River. The school grew and grew. My husband, after about 10 years, said, I've had enough of tripping over pink legs every night when I come home from work. It's time for you to take that next step. I've always been very shy about taking next steps. I'm a bit of a warrior, and I tend to lack a lot of confidence, but I have to say I have to owe my husband for giving me the push that I needed to move forward, and I'm very grateful for that. So we located a garden center in East Lyme and converted it from a garden center to a ballet school, which now has four studios, which is wonderful because so many of our students, starting from level one, attend multiple classes a week, and we have a place for them, you know, where we can have, at any given moment, there will be classes in all four studios. We've grown to about 300 students.
Wow.
The dancers come to us from Brantford, New Haven, Rhode Island, and north of East Lyme up into Franklin and Basra and Lebanon. And
so for those of you at home that can't see the radio, she's pointing in the different directions that they come from. Just so you know,
I tend to use my hands a lot. I learned that from my mother, who was very demonstrative. So,
well, it's amazing. 300 students.
Yes.
And that is quite a tribute. Well, that's a great thing. And if people want more information about that school, how do they get, is there a website?
Well, there is a website, www.easternctballet.com. Of course,
Eastern.
You can always call. I'm old-fashioned.
You have a telephone?
We have a telephone.
Operators
and
are standing by.
I prefer to talk to people than email them. But
all right. What's the phone number?
860-739-7899.
Okay. Well, we'll give you that again in the next segment. And speaking of the next segment, time to get to another piece of music so we can move along here and not get too carried away. This is another Gershwin piece. Luck be a lady, and we'll be back after that. Had a great time listening to stories of the Eastern Connecticut Ballet and music by Gershwin. And as we get approaching the end of our program, I want to tell everyone at home that the performance Stars of American Ballet 25th anniversary celebration will be on March 11th, Saturday night, at 7:30 p.m. at the Guard Arts Center. And if you'd like to call the old-fashioned way, you can call for tickets at 860-444-7373. Or you can visit their website, guardarts.org. And that's GardeArts.org. And that's in beautiful downtown New London, Connecticut. And if you'd like information about the school, you can also call that the old-fashioned way, and that number again is?
860-739-7899.
Excellent. And a lot of other things have obviously been happening with and are going to happen with the Eastern Connecticut Ballet. Tell us about something else that's coming up.
Well, we really believe that an important part of a dancer's education is, of course, and should be, performing.
Of course.
So we have created a youth ballet company, and our goal is to provide as many opportunities for young aspiring dancers to get up on stage and experiment with their creativity, build their confidence, and learn a lot of different and varied repertory. So we're also committed to family programming.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, on May 6th and 7th at the Katherine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center in Old Saybrook, we are performing two ballets. One is called Ballerina Swan. The other is Carnival of the Animals. Ballerina Swan was choreographed by Gloria Govern, and it was inspired by a book that was written by Allegra Kent, who was a New York City ballet dancer and a contemporary of Gloria's. So Gloria created this wonderfully charming ballet that is, we did it a few years ago at the Guard, and now we're taking it to Old Saybrook. And of course, we all know Carnival of the Animals is all about the instruments of the orchestra and the poetry that accompanies the story. These are performances that every age can enjoy, from 2 to 102.
Great family entertainment. Mm-hmm. and very enjoyable. And if you would like to help support the Eastern Connecticut Ballet, I'm sure they would be happy to have you not only attend these events, but maybe make a little donation. And that information is also available on the website.
Always available.
Excellent.
And remember, you can call.
Well, get out and support the arts. Support the Eastern Connecticut Ballet. And I want to thank you, Lise, for coming in and explaining everything that you did. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having us.
It was great to have you. And Gloria, thank you so much. It was great to hear the stories and meet someone that has had such a long and storied career. That's great. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. And we're going to listen to one more piece of music, at least a piece of it, and that will also be used in the performance on March 11th, and that's Tarantella. And we'll go out with that. And then we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.